Abracadabra, how the Fed just conjures up trillions of dollars to boost the COVID economy. I'm David Brancaccio. First, innovation to try to make the COVID workplace function. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has some examples in the news today.
Amazon has ramped up during this crisis to deliver stuff like Tylenol and toilet paper to everyone stuck at home, and its workers are getting sick. So the company is now developing an in-house lab to test workers for the virus, but it's not sure how far that effort will get before the coronavirus outbreak subsides. Also, WeWork, its locations are closed, of course, but it is getting ready for a post-lockdown world. It's talking about new floor layouts with people sitting at every other desk and with signs outside meeting rooms suggesting a maximum number of people.
Mariel, thank you. And companies adapting to fill a need with some shelves and grocery stores looking a bit bare. Here's our Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig in London.
That's my dog Ricardo running after my fiance Adam, who is hoisting a box full of fresh food that was just delivered to our door.
Smells good. Tomatoes, a leek, a fennel.
When the UK implemented shelter-in-place guidelines, food started flying off supermarket shelves. Major chains offered online order, but you had to wait as many as 3 or 4 weeks just to get a delivery slot. That's about the time wholesale food businesses like Smith & Brock started implementing direct-to-consumer side hustles.
It really started from a few WhatsApps.
That's Nick Fowler, co-founder of the company, which provides fruit and veg to 300 corporate customers, including Michelin-starred restaurants and five-star hotels. When COVID-19 forced those businesses to close, Smith & Brock was suddenly flooded with excess supply.
We had a fall of sort of 95% in turnover literally overnight.
So he and the team accelerated plans to launch a door-to-door delivery service.
One of our sales guys messaged a few people in his street and said, if anyone wants a veg box, let me know. And that just grew arms and legs. The phone started going wild.
Smith & Brock is now delivering boxes costing between $25 and $70 each. It's not quite the revenue generator his corporate buyers would bring in, but it is allowing Fowler's team to hire more staff and serve the community.
A week ago, we were staring down the barrel of, you know, how do we get out of it? Will we survive? I never envisaged 7 days ago that we'd be looking at, should we turn the web shop off now? It's getting to the point where we might not be able to handle it in a few days' time.
That's the sentiment driving the family behind Wessex Mill, a small flour producer 90 minutes from central London. Fifth-generation miller Emily Munsey says production quadrupled, essentially overnight.
We're nowhere close to meeting demand.
Not only are supermarkets unable to keep stock of big-name flour brands, but small producers like Wessex have also seen a surge in demand as more people take up baking under lockdown.
Yesterday, we took 80 orders in 8 minutes. So we're sending out about 8 tons of flour direct a week, and we send out one.
But Munsey said she isn't worried about running out of supplies.
We buy all our local wheat from local farmers.
The big question is whether consumers will continue purchasing this way once the coronavirus crisis is over. In the meantime, companies will keep taking orders, so our personal supply chains and the sourdough starters we created to fill our downtime don't dry up. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
After days of negotiating, European Union leaders have agreed to a $1.1 trillion economic stimulus. Part of this is deeply controversial in Europe, debt that the whole eurozone is responsible for paying back. Here, Wall Street is closed for Good Friday. Now, Econ Extra Credit, where we revisit basic economics weekly. We've been reading a free intro Econ textbook, and this week's chapter is about banks and money. And speaking of extra credit, as we reported yesterday, the Fed announced that to counteract the economic effects of the pandemic, it's making $2.3 trillion available in extra credit to spur loans to cities and to small and medium-sized businesses. It's reasonable to ask, where did the Federal Reserve find $2.3 trillion? Was it taxpayer money? No. It's more like magic. Homa Zargami is an economics professor at Barnard College in New York.
In a certain sense, it is creating it out of thin air, right?
When the Fed wants to fill regular banks full of extra credit, so the banks can furiously write a bunch of new small business loans, the Fed buys securities from those banks, often bonds. It pays for these securities not in gold bars from Fort Knox or something. It pays by typing in numbers that amount to a credit on the books.
Now the bank has more money to loan out.
It's like when you finally secure that home equity loan. The bank doesn't send you $50,000 in $20 bills in a suitcase. The bank just indicates you now have credit, which you can go out and spend when you're ready. Here's Ben Bernanke on CBS, back when he was chairman of the Fed, talking about this after the last financial crisis.
To lend to a bank, we simply use the computer to mark up the size of the account that they have with the Fed. So it's much more akin, although not exactly the same, but it's much more akin to printing money than it is to borrowing.
You're hearing that? Printing money is just a metaphor. The Fed has no printing presses, but it has a keyboard which only a central bank can use to magically increase the total supply of money, which helps stimulate the economy when disaster is afoot, like now. So why not just make up money like this all the time? Well, here's Professor Zargami again.
They're not going to want to do this on a regular, ongoing basis in order to kind of deal with any daily issue that might arise, because it's going to increase the general price level and perhaps be hyperinflationary, which can be really bad for the economy in general.
And while the economy has a vast array of problems right now, inflation is not one. There is news this morning. Retail prices fell 0.4%, the most in 5 years. A lot of that is cheaper gas. Sign up for Econ Extra Credit, the newsletter, and the free intro econ textbook you can read anytime, marketplace.org. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.